What's up, you guys, and welcome to this week's edition of Worship Fuel. My name is Matt McCoy. I'm the founder of loopcommunity.com and the host of Worship Fuel. Today, I have a very special guest. I've got Chad Gentry with me. Chad is a worship leader. He is the founder of 90s Worship Night. I don't know if you've heard of this. If you go to 90sworshipnight.com, you'll see what I'm talking about. 90s Worship Night is a documentary series, but also they're doing live events at different churches around the United States. They've also released music on Apple and Spotify. They're basically bringing back to life the beautiful time period of 90s worship. I don't know about you, but I grew up in 90s worship, and some of those songs have impacted me so much. And honestly, I still sing a lot of those songs just when I'm like on my own playing piano or guitar. I go back to these old 90s worship songs. And it was a really special time period of worship music that there's really nothing like those songs. And so anyways, I'm really excited. When I met Chad, I was like so excited when I heard about what he's doing with this. And I was like, we got to get him on the Worship Fuel show to talk about 90s Worship Night and just geek out on that. So I'm excited to have Chad join us. Let's go ahead and bring him in.
Looking for affordable, high-quality resources for your church? Check out the app lineup from Worship Tools. You can build sleek service presentations in Presenter, schedule volunteers to those services in Planning, access chord charts and other worship materials in Music Stand, and manage church attendee information with Community.
Chad, what's up, man? Good to see you.
Hello, Matt. Thank you so much for hosting me on this wonderful podcast. It's so great to be with you.
Yeah, so where are you coming in from? Where do you live?
Yeah, my wife and I, we are based in the Middle Tennessee area, so real close to Nashville.
Okay.
Originally from Southern Indiana, which I know just before we started, we were joking about our baseball allegiances, but I'm a little different with that. Being from Southern Indiana, not having a major league team in the state of Indiana, I kind of loved all of the local teams, if you will, so Cardinals, Cubs, White Sox, and Reds.
Yeah.
So, no offense with the.
When you're joining a Chicago podcast show, I appreciate the effort here, but I am a Cubs fan and I should run upstairs and grab my Cubs hat. That's really what I should be wearing right now. But man, I'm so glad that you joined us on this. When I first heard about what you were doing, I was like, this is my vibe. I love this because I just love 90s worship. I grew up, as a Vineyard pastor's kid. I grew up in the Vineyard church movement my whole life. I started leading worship because I was, a kid in a Vineyard church in Indiana. And man, those songs like In the Secret, Open the Eyes of My Heart, I Could See Your Love Forever, Breathe. I mean, they go on and on and on. Draw Me Close. Like these old songs were so, so special and formative in my life as a worship leader. And I know in the lives of so many other worship leaders who are probably even listening and watching this. So first of all, you got to just tell us I guess probably the first thing we should talk about is what is 90s Worship Night? And then I want to hear you tell us the story about why you created it and how that happened. So what would you say is 90s Worship Night?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I try to start off by kind of explaining it as really a movement. I guess you could kind of look at it as a quote unquote, brand as well. But I call it a movement just because of how many different facets are contained within, so to speak. I know you'd mentioned probably the tip of the spear, as I would call it, would be this 10 plus part docuseries that we've been, working on since January of 2021 is when we kind of laid the foundation for that. But in addition to that, we'll be doing some podcasting. We started an indie record label, partnering with Integrity Music, to record some new covers of the 90s worship catalog. A lot of those will be more like live albums that we do at our live events. But we're getting ready here on March 15th to release our debut studio compilation album called Break Through the Stars that I'm really excited about. It's got some really cool features on there. And definitely, we hit some of the core, 90s worship material, if you will.
Yeah.
Kind of getting back to the live events. Yeah, I mean, that's probably what I'm personally the most excited about is us being able to, go out and really, draw in at these local events, anyone who's, you know, just nostalgic for that 90s, you know, era.
Yeah.
And it just wants to come and be a part of a night of worship featuring those songs. But then, you know, we're also able to utilize some of the intellectual property, you know, song story clips, for example, that we've collected through the process of recording the docuseries. So it's a really fun night, and kind of all of that, all encompassing is what I would describe 90s worship night to be.
You're bringing these like 90s worship songs, just kind of giving them a whole new wave. And I think you're introducing them also to a whole new generation that maybe did not grow up in the 90s. You know, there's a lot of worship leaders that I know use Loop Community that, I don't know, were probably born in like 2000. And so they never even heard these songs. And I think what's interesting is that I know I've heard that, you know, some Gen Zers are like actually hearing these songs for the first time, and they're like, this is amazing. What is this song? And it was in the 90s, and the 90s were a huge part of worship. I mean, is that what you grew up in? Is that like, why are you choosing 90s and not 80s or 70s or?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's probably the biggest thing that I think people make an assumption is that, you know, all this is just Chad, you know, doing a quote unquote, you know, passion project. And I say, you know, even though I am, yes, passionate about the subject matter for sure, and have really enjoyed, you know, this journey, I started it, you know, because of a dear friend of mine who had passed away in September of 2020. So kind of telling that story, I'll go back and answer your previous question.
Yeah.
You know, I was really injected in the 90s worship night, or excuse me, the 90s worship scene back in the beginning of 1996. I was 15 years old, just really kind of gotten into church, developed a love for, you know, music in general, but then was just, you know, found myself really gravitating towards worship music. And I really, other than, you know, growing up as a kid and singing out of a hymn book at a traditional church, I'd had no previous exposure to it. So right from the jump, just the influences that, you know, we had in the year of 1996, I mean, it was a landmark year for 90s worship. Yeah. You know, that was really the height of my dear friend who was going to, you know, circle back to Danny Chambers, who passed away. I first became familiar with his music, you know, the beginning of 96. And then all the music out of the Brownsville Revival, you know, came out in the early part of 1996. Then the Integrity Music Shout to the Lord album came out in 1996. And then that was also the year that I first learned about Vineyard, you know, because of Brownsville and the influence that Vineyard, you know, have on, you know, the revival. So I really kind of came on the scene right at the perfect time for what we're doing. Obviously had no idea, you know, back then that what I was experiencing would come full circle to, you know, being able to, you know, curate this project, so to speak. But, you know, that's what drew me into 90s worship. In my local church, you know, as part of the youth group, and our youth pastor, you know, was a phenomenal senior worship leader. So I played guitar, you know, we started a band, we did a lot of regional events. And through that, you know, we got to meet a lot of the different ministers involved with, you know, the worship movement back in that day as well. But that's kind of where I found myself. And then, like I said, just through those relationships, and then fast forwarding to September, 2020, a good friend, Danny Chambers, passed away. And I, you know, I just really, you know, I was really devastated just at his passing, and, you know, all the circumstances, you know, surrounding, you know, how everything happened. So I just said a simple prayer to the Lord. I was like, you know, God, I would love to do something to honor, you know, Danny's memory and legacy. Kind of one of those here I am, send me type of prayers. Didn't think anything of it past that. And then a few months later, at the end of 2020, that's when the Lord pretty well divinely tasked, you know, me to start 90s worship night. And, you know, we haven't looked back since.
Yeah. Wow. So I watched the first episode, and, you know, I think I even learned stuff that I didn't know, because I was really only in the Vineyard Church movement. I hadn't even heard of Brownsville. So all of that music was totally new to me. I was so much in the Maranatha Vineyard, you know, Vineyard Cafe, Winds of Worship series, that was the music that I was, you know, highly influenced by. So I think it's such an awesome thing, because you're really like, I mean, I learned a lot from it. And so I'm excited for a whole new generation to actually watch this series. So you're releasing a docuseries centered around this whole thing. And first of all, like, where are you releasing it? Like, how can people even watch it? And what is the docuseries going to give us a little teaser into, like, what the docuseries is?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the first episode we're planning to release about Lindell Cooley, who is the, you know, worship leader of the Brownsville Revival. The episode is going to be, you know, featuring him and then the different songs that, you know, kind of make people think about worship music in regards to the Brownsville Revival. You know,
what's the number one song from that? What's the number one song from that, do you think, that people would know?
Oh, man. Well, people who follow the revival, I mean, they would definitely know, like, We Will Ride, which is Andy Park Vineyard song, Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, another Andy Park Vineyard song. So, you know, we have a sequence that, you know, features each of those songs. Yeah. Another popular one, Enemy's Camp. That was the one that, you know, being in the Assemblies of God back in the 90s, like, if you didn't do that song paired with Look What the Lord Has Done, I always make the joke, you would lose your affiliation with the Assemblies of God, because, like, everybody was doing that song back then.
Yeah.
So that would probably be, you know, one of the tops. And then, you know, definitely, you know, the original song that, Lindell and a gentleman by the name of Bruce Haynes wrote together called I Need You More. A lot of people know that one. And I think, you know, of recent years, you know, Kim Walker Smith recorded a version of that song, so a lot of people know it from there. Yeah. But that was definitely a very big, you know, Brownsville song. So I would say probably, you know, those four songs would be the main ones that folks will remember, but definitely a lot of the Vineyard songs were covered and a lot of just Integrity, you know, old Integrity catalog songs as well.
So does each episode cover, do they go sequentially, like, through the 90s, like starting in like 1990 all the way to the end, or and does it cover every movement or what?
Yeah, somewhat. I mean, we really tried to cover about every movement with this. You know, I really just felt spending time in prayer, asking the Lord kind of, you know, where do we start with this? What really does our strategy need to be? And I really just kind of kept coming back to, you know, really starting with this episode about the Brownsville Revival. And I think the major reason for that is I kind of explain it as, you know, Brownsville was really a microcosm of 90s worship, because all styles of 90s worship were part of the Brownsville Revival. You know, I think that's probably the biggest thing that, Lindell Cooley did as far as making a contribution to the era, was just introducing a lot of these Vineyard songs, you know, to the mainstream, you know, church crowd who was, you know, coming to the revival or had heard about the revival. But, you know, with that, I mean, they, you know, Brownsville, they did a live album with, you know, Hosanna Music, you know, Integrity Music. They did Winds of Worship 7 with Vineyard, which is, you know, definitely one of my favorites. You know, and then Lindell was covering, you know, Delirious songs. They were covering, you know, different songs from Hillsong. So, I mean, he was pretty well, you know, kind of curating and covering it all, just like, you know, any modern day worship leader at any, you know, random church would be doing, right? You know, just kind of pulling in the best material of the age and using, you know, utilizing that in the worship service. So that's where we're starting. And through that, we'll also kind of tell a little bit of the story of the Brownsville Revival. And just, man, what a unique situation that whole thing was. I mean, I'm still blown away to think in the 5+ years that the revival occurred down there in Pensacola, 4.5 million people were estimated to have walked through that church building. Can you imagine that? Just a church that seats a little over 2,000 people, 4.5 million people made their way through that church. I mean, it's just, there's nothing, you know, there was nothing before that, and there's nothing since that time that that has happened, you know, like Brownsville. So that's the first episode. But, you know, beyond that, in episode two, we're planning on, you know, covering Darlene Check and, you know, all the songs and the movement that she was a part of, you know, in Australia. Definitely be doing an episode about, you know, Vineyard, you know, worship, you know, talking about the legacy of John Wimber and, you know, featuring all of the 90s era worship leaders, you know, doing an episode about Integrity Music and, you know, Don Moen, Paul Wilbur, Lenny LeBlanc, Paul Balash. All of them. So there'll be that, doing an episode about Martin Smith, you know, covering what, you know, happened in the UK.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doing an episode, you know, featuring Jeff Dio and kind of how the whole, you know, Sonic Flood, you know, started.
That was huge.
Really, Yeah, I mean, the influence of that first album that they put out, and funny enough, you know, we'll learn in the first episode that, you know, really the influence of why they created that album was from their experience in Brownsville, which I don't think a lot of people either know or remember that, you know, was really the catalyst for them doing that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we'll have an episode about the Passion Movement, you know, with Charlie Hall and Christian Nathan Knuckles. So definitely a lot to cover, you know, in a 10 plus part docuseries. And, you know, each of the episodes we're planning on being about 40 minutes long. So not a long watch, you know, definitely something that's, you know, within one sitting, you can, you know, block out, you know, 45 minutes of your time and watch and hopefully, you know, really be inspired by it.
So when did these release?
Yeah, the first episode is going to be releasing on March 29th, and we're just going to release the first one exclusively on YouTube to give, you know, anyone, you know, worldwide who wants to have access to watch, they'll be able to, you know, go on to our YouTube page and watch the episode. So, you know, beyond that, you know, we're still figuring some of those things out, but definitely for this first one, you'll be able to watch.
When do you think the second episode will come out? Like, are you going to be releasing one a month, or is there any sort of schedule?
Yeah, I mean, really no specific schedule at this point in time. I mean, we've pretty well almost got the second one ready. I would imagine we'll probably release it sometime in the middle of the summer. You know, so kind of as hopefully the word spreads and the movement builds, you know, we'll be ready to drop that. And like I said, that one will be focusing on, you know, Darlene Check and Russell Fragar and, you know, all of the awesome, amazing 90s worship songs that came out of Australia, you know, in that time period. But my guess is probably the third episode will be about, you know, Integrity Music, which we'll call it, you know, Hosanna Music, and really, you know, diving into, you know, a lot of those evergreen songs that they put out.
That's awesome. Well, so then you're also recording music, and you already have released an album, which was live, right?
Yeah. We did a live album. It was really the first ever quote unquote 90s worship night live event that we did. And that really kind of got the ball rolling on, you know, what became the label and, what our future plans are. But, you know, we put that out, you know, as I would describe pre-launch, you know, just kind of help, solidify, you know, a foundation for, just getting our name out there and helping with, you know, some of the live events. But, you know, really I would kind of describe, you know, the studio compilation album that's getting ready to release on March 15th is really being the crown jewel of the label. And man, I can tell you, man, I know you've been involved with, you know, music production and all that it takes. The hardest thing I've ever done in my life, and, you know, I've literally been in worship music since 1996, was put this studio compilation album together. 15 songs, you know, working with a lot of different producers. You know, like I said, a lot of cooks in the kitchen on this, and so many moving parts. And it really is, you know, I would describe it as a multicultural album. And, and that's exactly what it is. I mean, it spans all styles of music, you know, and just some really cool, you know, covers of these 90s, you know, catalog.
Tell us about the title, Breakthrough the Stars. Where does that come from?
Yeah, Breakthrough the Stars, that came from, you know, my good friend, you know, Jeff Dio, who's, you know, a big part of what we're doing with 90s Worship Night. You know, I had asked him to, you know, contribute a song to the studio compilation album. So, you know, I'd kind of just threw some ideas over to him, and he really gravitated towards, you know, wanting to cover a song by the name of All Who Are Thirsty, which was a Vineyard song, originally written and then, you know, led by Brenton Brown. So he's like, I want to take a stab at this and see what I can make, you know, from it. So he decided he wanted to do a derivative, which for the folks who don't know, a derivative is when you take an original song, you add a part to it. And so it kind of becomes a new thing. So he sent me, I'll never forget, he sent me a little memo of, hey, you know, what do you think of this? And the first time I heard the bridge that he added that song, I was just blown away. And the bridge starts with, not to spoil the song, but Break Through the Stars. That's like the key phrase of that. So when it came time to really think about, you know, what do we call this collection of songs? What, you know, what should this album be titled? Mm-hmm. I just kept going back to that, you know, and I immediately, upon deciding that, had this image in my head, which kind of became the album cover. You know, I got a hold of my graphic designer and said, hey, this is what I'm thinking. What can you do with it? And, you know, that's what it became. And that's how that title happened.
I love it, man. That's awesome. So when does that come out, that album?
Yeah, that'll be coming out on March 15th. Cool. So that'll be available, you know, anywhere you can stream music, you'll be able to find that. And I'm really excited to see what folks think of it. You know, like I said, there'll definitely be some familiar names on there for anyone who loves 90s worship. Yeah. And then there'll be some, you know, unknown artists as well who did just some amazing covers. So, I'm really proud of what we've done. And actually, just last night was getting all the STEM packages together so we can get those sent over to Loop Community. So really excited about that as well.
So what would you say is your favorite, your personal favorite 90s worship song?
Oh, geez. I mean, I could probably give you a top five. I've been doing a lot of top five lists with this, you know, because it's just so difficult. You know, as far as, you know, some of the ones that have personally impacted me the most, I mean, I definitely have to throw in, again, kind of going back to Danny Chambers, one of his songs, probably Let the Reign of Your Presence, you know, that song would be at the top of my list. And, you know, we'll be talking about that, you know, through the docuseries. Yeah. And, you know, we have done a cover of that as well and released that. So that'd be one. I've definitely been very privileged with some of the friendships that I've made through this process. You know, one being with a, you know, former Vineyard worship leader, Scott Underwood. And I would say, you know, probably his song, you know, Take My Life, which I think a lot of folks know that is Holiness. That's definitely one of my,
Take my life and form it. Yeah, take my mind. Yeah. That's a good one.
That's
to yours. Oh Lord. Wow. I have not thought of that song in a long time.
Yeah, it's definitely an evergreen one, and it's going to be on this new studio album. I'm really excited.
Yeah.
My good friend Dave Guerrero sings on it on that track. Plus, we actually brought Scott Underwood in to do a duet with my friend Dave. So I'm really excited about that song because there hasn't really been a modern recording of that.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a few, you know, 90s era recordings, but no one's done it probably in the last 15 years at least. So. Yeah, that would definitely be one of my favorites. I mean, Open the Eyes of My Heart. Yeah, I still lead that one probably in worship myself every couple months.
Yeah.
You know? So those would definitely would be a few for sure.
Yeah. I love Faithful One by Brian.
Yeah.
It's a Faithful One, so unchanging. So are you sticking very tightly to 90s, or what if it was written in like 89?
It's so funny you bring up that question, because I kind of consider, you know, when we're talking about 90s worship, probably being anything from 90 to 2000, you know, which quite a bit of what we're covering with Passion happened in the year 2000. So technically you can kind of look, I guess, at that whole 11-year period as being the 90s.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we will be, you know, just for some backstory sake, covering probably some of the 80s. I mean, probably a perfect example would be, you know, we're telling the song story of the song Give Thanks that I think it's really it's in the hymn book, you know, by now. I think I haven't met anyone who's been in church who doesn't know that song or hasn't heard it. But actually tracked down the writer, Henry Smith. You know,
you got to sing it. I think anytime we mention a song now at this point, you have to sing like a phrase of it.
Yeah, you have to sing a phrase.
for people who are listening. So that one is, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. It's a great song.
Oh, it's one of the best, you know, and just, you know, tracking Henry down and getting him, you know, getting just that documented on video, him talking about writing that song, because I mean, that song, I'm not sure there may not be 90s worship, definitely not the way that we know it, had it not been for that song, because, you know, that really was the song that got, you know, Integrity Music and Don Moen, you know, really, you know, launched, which then propelled into the 90s decade. And then I came to find out, you know, through all the conversations that was the song in that album that Don Moen did. They called it Hosanna Number 7 back then. Now the album's called Give Thanks. But that was actually the album that got Danny Chambers first started in worship, the influence of that. So just to think about, you know, how important one song can be, you know, just in the trajectory of everything to come after it, is quite astounding. So we will cover a few of those types of songs.
Yeah, all that stuff too. You know, two albums that I think, and I don't even know if these were specifically 90s, but albums that I remember were huge, very impactful, was one was Daryl Evans, the Freedom album. Was that in the 90s?
That was the 90s,
I'm trading my sorrows. And then he had like, Your Love is Extravagant. And Freedom was a great song too.
Yeah, Daryl, he had, you know, he went on quite a run. You know, he had four or five, like, you know, really right in a row. And that Freedom album definitely would be in my top five or top six.
That's a big one. You guys listening to this, if you have not heard the Freedom album by Daryl Evans, you need to go listen to it. That's an album I think that gets lost. Like, people who do not, who were not around at that time period would never find that album, I feel like. But it is so good. And almost every song on there is like, just incredible. Daryl Evans, Freedom.
Yeah, I would really say, you know, Matt, I mean, in my opinion, you know, Daryl was probably the most gifted singer-songwriter type of that era, you know. And he has an interesting story because his first song that really caught on was a song called Let the River Flow.
Yeah.
But that actually got, funny enough, got published through Vineyard.
Vineyard, yeah. I remember playing that song. Wait, you got to sing it. How does it go? How does it go, Chad?
Oh, geez. Let the river flow. Let the river flow.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, come. Move in power, let the river flow. Yeah, very, very simple. You know, but that was utilized in the Brownsville Revival, kind of, you know, going back to that narrative. But then, you know, Daryl actually put out his first album with Integrity Music. It was called Let the River Flow. It was a live album.
Yeah.
So that kind of is what got him started. But yeah, he was just such an important part of what 90s worship was, for sure.
Do you remember the album Let the Praises Ring by Lincoln Brewster?
I don't know
if that was 90s.
That was, I think that one came out in the beginning of the 2000s. But yeah, Lincoln, funny enough, he started.
The album's called Amazed, and you're right, it came out in 2002.
Yeah. He put out a self-titled album with Integrity, and then he had an album. I think it was called Made to Worship. Came out like right around 2000, but. You know, Lincoln actually got his start in worship, you know, through Danny Chambers. And that was a kind of a cool story. It was the first ever worship service that, you know, Lincoln ever did, or concert, whatever you want to call it, was at our little church in Southern Indiana. That was his debut. He came up with Danny. And I'll never forget, I think Lincoln was like 26 years old at that time. And I mean, just hearing him play, I was like, this has got to be one of the best guitar players in the world, even at that age, you know. I think time has proven that take to be, you know, very accurate.
Yeah, man, that's so awesome. I love this project. I feel like we could geek out on this for forever. What is it that you're like really hoping worship leaders would get from this whole movement that you've started here?
Yeah, well, I think one part, I mean, we definitely want the legacy component, and just, you know, really honoring, you know, the artists, the songwriters, and the songs. We want that to happen, you know, through this project. You know, I think that'd be one component. Another would be, you know, hopefully adding some, you know, educational value, you know, and providing kind of a backdrop for some of these narratives to be, you know, either retold or told for the first time. I do think that we have some exclusive content, and I think there's just a lot to learn from how these songs, you know, came to be, especially because, you know, I would kind of describe that period, Matt, as being the kind of pre-commercialization of worship music. You know, the 90s was really, in my opinion, a transition period between like the 80s, you know, kind of the demand kind of started growing, but there was no supply of worship music. So, you know, you had Integrity Music come in, and, you know, definitely Vineyard, and, you know, they helped to get the supply caught up with the demand, so to speak, throughout that decade. But then everything grew to where, you know, the commercialization aspect definitely came into play at the end of the 90s, going into the 2000s. Mm-hmm. So I think because it is in that pre-commercialization period, you know, there's just a lot of interesting narratives that I think folks will learn and can consider. And I think as far as takeaways, it's neat for current, you know, modern age worship leaders to really, you know, learn what it was like back then, maybe how some of those approaches can be applied to today, and I think the biggest difference is just the lack of technology back then made you do things a different way than you would today. If we had the same technology back in the 90s, I can promise you we'd be using Loop Community. We'd be using, Ableton, be playing with clicks, we'd have amazing pro presenter, screens going, all of that.
Yeah, right.
We just didn't have it, So we had to get creative with how we connected, with the congregation. So I think there is definitely some lessons to be learned from that and then applied to this modern era.
Yeah, it's so interesting because when I kind of think back to when I first started leading worship, which was in the 90s, production of worship was never even on my mind. It was never like actually thinking about, I mean, of course, like we wanted the band to like sound good and like actually play the song well, but we were never really thinking about the backgrounds on the screen or lighting, or it was about like just leading the congregation in worship. And I do feel like sometimes now it can be more about the production side and less of the congregation side. There's all these other little things that are distractions that are great. I mean, they can, help enhance what's happening in the room, but sometimes I think it can actually take more of our attention than what's most important. And that is one thing I really liked about that era. The other thing I really liked about that era too is the simple lyrics. Yeah. And I know that that gets kind of like, it's funny because a lot of times when I interview artists and ask them like, where do you, how do you think worship music has changed over the years? And like, what's worship look like now compared to what it was then? Almost every time songwriters will say, worship is in the best place it's ever been because the songs have become like so much more artistic and poetry, and like the lyrics are way much more full of content and rich. And I guess I could agree with that in that, songs are way more complicated now and very creative. Like you're using all these pictures and imagery in these lyrics that are awesome and they're powerful, but I don't know. I do think there's something to be said about the simplicity of the lyrics of 90s songs that like literally a third grader would understand, a second grader would understand.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that was
a bad thing. I think that's actually a strength and a good thing. And I think we've actually kind of gotten away from that. We've gotten a little bit too artsy, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, and I honestly think the biggest contributor to that is just the fact, going back to the 90s period, and I can tell you because I looked through so much publishing information and kind of white sheet info, with these songs, just making sure that, obviously from a publishing perspective that we knew what was going on. But there was a lot to be told from that. Because I would say probably if you look at that catalog of songs, no joke, probably at least 85% one writer, the remaining probably maybe a second, but no more than that, an excellent illustration of that, one of my favorite stories is just, talking with Brian Dirksen and him telling how he wrote, Come Now Is a Time to Worship and Refiner's Fire. Yeah. And both of those, I mean, he had like a very personal experience with the Lord, where that the given melodies just kind of were downloaded to him. It's like almost he could like reach out and grab them.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and if he were today, what he does, he would immediately call his publishing company and get the five best writers join him and finish the song. But it's like they didn't do that back then. He locked himself in a room and he finished it by himself.
Yeah. And so now you would get a song that has fancy lyrics and like super dense, but you're not getting what you had in the 90s, which was just a simple like love song between someone and God.
Yeah. One person typically. And, it was what it was. So that I think that's the biggest difference. And again, not disparaging, the current model of how things are done, but it definitely is different. And the fruit of it is definitely different.
Yeah, I know. And I bring that up only because I want to counter argue that that was a bad thing. That it wasn't, yeah. It wasn't a bad thing. Almost every time, yeah, I talk to songwriters now, they say like, oh yeah, what I love about worship music now is that it's like 8 writers on a song. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I guess the collaboration is great, but, and yeah, maybe the songs are like way more wordy, but that doesn't mean that what we did have was actually bad. And, you know, I was thinking about in the Vineyard movement, there was this whole thing, you know, with Calvary Chapel. I grew up in Southern California.
Yeah.
And there was this like thing about worship where they would talk about like a spirit song, where it's a song that it's a moment in worship when the congregation could just be released to just like sing. Like they don't need the lyrics up on the screen. They don't even need to be led. It's a song that's so simple and so well known that everybody just knows it and they can just sing it.
Yeah.
Like something like, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship. Or steadfast love. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Like very simple songs that like at that point in worship, like you've led, you know, like 4 songs. People have followed along with the street words on the screen in the back. But now you start that song and you could just like let it go.
Yeah.
And you don't need a worship leader. You don't even need lyrics on the screen. And the congregation can just take it. And at that point, it is just them and the Lord. And in this very just like vertical worship, you know, from the person right to God. And that, honestly, when I lead worship, that's my goal. I want to like get people to that point where like literally I step back and then it's just like them. And that's like that spirit song moment. And the 90s is full of that. I tell you that there's no way that like So Will I is going to be that spirit song. Like you can't, it's a beautiful song and it's amazing. And every time I hear it, it like, it brings a tear to my eye, but that's not the type of song that is like someone could just has memorized like deep down where they can just sing it. Like it's just more complicated and it's not a bad song, but I'm just saying this in defense of the 90s worship, because I do think that there was something special about that. Sorry, I'm going on a rant here, Chad, but I just can't, I'm saying it in defense of the special uniqueness of these songs. That, yeah, they might be simpler. Yeah, they might feel like way more like third grade type lyrics, but there is something special about that that we don't have in modern worship.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think we're far enough removed now from, you know, the start of what I would classify as modern worship to, you know, let's go back and really figure out which of these songs need to be around 100 years from now and what can we, yeah, do to help preserve them, you know, and hopefully through this project, you know, we will do our part in that.
Yeah, right. Well, Chad, I really appreciate what you're doing. I love it. How can people like dig in right now? Like, where do they go?
Yeah, we can go to 90sworshipnight.com and from our website, pretty well link into every aspect of what we're doing. And definitely be on the lookout, you know, for the Breakthrough the Stars album. It's releasing March 15th on all digital platforms. And then episode 1 of 90s Worship Night doc series will be dropping on YouTube on Friday, March 29th. And I'd love to get feedback from folks. You know, we've got our email out there. It's just 90sworshipnight@gmail.com. Feel free to reach out. You know, I mean, that's one thing I say to everyone, Matt. I think, you know, you've probably seen this firsthand. I want to be the most accessible and approachable person out there in regards to this, you know?
Yeah.
So if someone wants to connect or have a conversation or whatever the case may be, I'm here. Don't feel like you can't reach out. You know, I mean, I sincerely mean that.
It's awesome, man. Well, I'm really glad that we've met. Thanks for what you're doing. Good to see you again, Chad. Go get a Cubs hat and we'll see you later. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, my friend. God bless.
God bless. All right, you guys, great conversation with Chad. Make sure you go check out 90sworshipnight.com. Listen to the music they've released. Watch that first episode that's coming out. I can't remember the date, but it's like in the next week or two. Make sure you watch that. That's going to be really, really interesting. Follow this docuseries. It is going to be just a wealth of knowledge, especially if you're a brand new worship leader. I think it always helps to know the roots of, you know, where, you know, the people who have gone before you in worship and how worship has even gotten to where it is now. I think it's just important to know and learn. The 90s were a special time of worship music. And I go check it out, learn about it. And I think you're going to be blessed. So anyways, hit the subscribe button to stay updated on future Worship Fuel shows. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.